Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is a Design for Living Big Book meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. My name is Violet and I am a compulsive eater and food addict, and I am also your chairperson today. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. We start this meeting by remembering our common purpose to extend the heart and hand of the OA Fellowship to those who still suffer. Let us be mindful of OA's unity with diversity policy, which respects our differences, yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. Today, we are delighted to have Joanne joining us to share her experience, strength, and hope focused on the topic of step 10. Welcome, Joanne.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Violet. Thank you to Design for Living and the people in the background doing service and supporting us as we come together. My name is Joanne, and I'm sitting here. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm abstinent today, and I'm very grateful to be here and to be part of this fellowship and part of this recovery and to share some of my recovery around step 10. That's our focus today. Please follow on with a set-aside prayer. So I'm just closing my eyes and leaning into my spirit to set aside everything I think I know about how I should be able to communicate today and how I should show up and what this meeting should look like or sound like. Please open my heart and mind and allow me to have a new experience, to be free, to show up, to be, just be in this moment today. And that there is a set-aside prayer. Every time I say the set-aside prayer, I change the words. I change the words every single time to bring myself into this moment, into this space. I am over 50. I think I'm just going to be saying it like that. I'm a mature woman now. But I came into fellowship, I was 21 years old. So I was young and a young adult. And I'm very grateful for the universe, for the people in my life that guided me to come into my first 12-step meeting. And I'm very grateful that I heard something that brought me in, that I related to, that gave me hope. I'm very grateful for the people in those early meetings because I was a bit rough around the edges, or you might say. I was a bit aggressive and angry, and I had had a history of anxiety and panic. I had my first anxiety attack when I was 11 years old, and I spent the next 10 years or more hiding, managing that, without telling anyone what was going on. So panic and anxiety and the shaking hands and the eyes going everywhere is part of my history. And food was part of my coping mechanism. So I have obesity in my background. I have a binge restrict and laxative abuse and overexercising, part of that history. So food has been a big part of my coping. Am I coping with living, coping with life, coping with that anxiety that would come up, and also coping? But when I look at that food history, I had a history with food from even younger, from childhood. So food has been in my life as something that I was interested in from a very young age. And these steps started the journey of recovery, and I'm very grateful for that. When we do the set-aside prayer, we're doing steps 1, 2, and 3. I'm powerless. I'm powerless over this food. But you'll notice when I do the set-aside prayer, I'm powerless over what I think should happen. Like I'm powerless over my mind, which keeps thinking of what is happening and who am I and what you should be saying and what I should be saying and what the life that I should be living. And my brain gets caught up in that and I get lost. So I'm powerless. And I change the words of that set-aside prayer to keep me aware of where I'm powerless and leaning into this power, this mystery. The set-aside, I'm powerless. Step one is around powerlessness and that unmanageable life. The beds aren't made. I can't get to work. I can't get out of the house. My hands are shaking. I cannot move. The doctors tell me to do something for my health. I don't do it. I can't follow a food plan. I can't. I became a school teacher, and I remember crying once. Or getting overwhelmed with tears when I was sent out on camp with these kids, and I'm in charge of all these kids, and there's a person that was actually in charge. I was the teacher in charge, but they had someone there. When you're camping, they have an outdoor ed teacher there, and they gave us the box of food for all of us for the week because we were out, right? And I looked at that box of food. And I was terrified that I was going to eat it all. Like, I was terrified that I was responsible for these young lives. And I was looking at that food and scared to be alone with that box of food because it wasn't enough. And there was no supermarket. We were out in the woods. So, and that fear of what I'm going to do, I never knew what I was going to do around food. So today, this topic of step 10, looking at that set aside prayer, I'm powerless. There is a power. And just for today, I let go of what I think should happen and who I think I should be, how I think I should be showing up. I let go of that by saying the set aside prayer often, many times. Steps 10 is a review of all the steps that have gone before. So we do steps 1, 2, and 3 when we do a set aside prayer. I'm powerless. There is a power just for today. I'm letting go of my expectations. Please open my heart and mind for something new. And then we move into these steps 4 through 9. Step 4 is an inventory. Steps 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. It's not, I get stuck, me. I get stuck in self-loathing. I get stuck in self, that inward-facing anger. I am very quick to that. So with sponsored direction, it was really important for me to figure out how I was abandoning myself. It's not okay for me to yell at others and to cause harms. I needed to see what my harms were as well. But also self-care was part of my recovery. Part of my recovery was recognizing I abandoned myself, and part of my movement forward was to find a way of self-care. That's what's part of these steps. Made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of that power. It's not a punishment. I'm handing it over to this care. And so that was really important for me to recognize. And then I moved forward with the rest of the steps, doing inventory, steps 5, step 6, became willing, step 7, my creator. I am now willing that you should have all of me, the good and the bad. See, I get stuck. I want to hold on to the bad because I want to use it when I'm not feeling good about myself so I can beat myself up and use that self-loathing as a source of power to get out the door. I'm using it as a source of power to get it out of bed in the morning. It's just not a very nice source of power. It's not, it does get me up, but then I'm stuck in that self-loathing. Just for today, where is my step two? That power source made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care. That's a, it's a, it's not punishment. So it's a care, this position of self-care. So we moved into step seven. My creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, the good and the bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character, including my self-abandon, which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. So we take a seventh step prayer, page 75 of that big book. And notice that I changed the words a little bit there. I added a focus. So every time I do the steps and I do an inventory, and it doesn't have to take long, in every day I get an opportunity to do these steps. Every day we work all 12 steps. Today, do you, can you review your, excuse me, today, can you review your day and recognize there was an area where maybe I didn't, I wasn't the person I wanted, I'm meant to be. Maybe I didn't show up today in one area. And we make that amends in, and we talk to step five, made admitted to ourselves, to God, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. So we discuss it. We move through step six. Am I willing to let go? See, food was my coping mechanism. I have an anxiety condition. My hand sometimes shakes. My brain doesn't work all the time. I get my mind runs off with itself. Food and other things help me to cope and appear normal. It's how I appear normal. So when I put down that food, I'm not going to appear normal. I might be more nervous, more agitated. I might not understand things. Maybe I have food also protects me from the grief, from my sadness. When I put down that food and that food-related behavior, because it's not just the food, there's the food-related behavior, counting calories, restriction, the food-related obsession, the food, the busyness in my brain around food. If I put that down, I'm going to have a lot of space. When I have that space, maybe the grief is going to come up, or maybe I'm really pissed at someone, like they're not behaving in a healthy way, and I'm not saying anything. I'm not holding healthy boundaries. Or maybe I'm exhausted. I'm carrying too much of a service load, or too much of a workload, or too much of a burden, and I'm not resting enough, and I'm using food to keep going. So when I put down that food, this inventory is going to come up and I might need some help. And that's why we do this inventory work, and we identify where am I getting out of balance? Resentment, fear, our sex conduct, and shame. We go through those inventories and we discuss it with another, and we move into steps six and seven. Am I willing to let it go? The character defects have been holding me together like a band-aid. If I put down my food, I'm going to need these other coping mechanisms. And that's where we move also into steps eight and nine, restitution and amends. Now, step 10, restitution and amends, step 10 is a way for us to very quickly in the day. It's called in the 12 and 12 a spot check inventory. It happens in the moment. And in that moment, we go through all those steps that I just said, all of them. We won't do a perfect job. Those of us that love perfection, we won't do a perfect job. But you're going to do all those steps. And I love to start. Why don't we start with looking at the big book on page 118? It was years before I found this in the book, and It's a secret. You'll be the only ones that know. No, you won't be the only ones, but let's go to page 118. It's in the chapter to the wives or two wives, and in that chapter, you will see someone doing a 10th step. In the moment, and they recognize they're getting disturbed, and they do an amends. There's four parts to a 10th step, and we're going to see these four parts happening. The first one, the first part, and if you are making notes, you might want to write them down, but there are four parts to a 10th step. We pray. And for some of us, where prayer is complicated, I sometimes say if I'm working with new people, we just breathe. We just pause. The pause is the prayer, I say when I'm working with new people. That's it. We pause. The first part of a 10th step is to pray. It's to ask for help. That's what a prayer is. We pause and we pray. The second part is to pray, tell someone. And the big book actually tells us to tell someone immediately. It doesn't say we're going to wait till next Tuesday when I have a meeting with my sponsor. It says we tell someone immediately. We're going to see that on page 118. Pause. The first part is to pray. The second part is to tell someone immediately. The third part is to make amends if we have caused harm. So those food addicts and food people out there who have a little bit of codependency in there as well, you recognize we only make amends if we have caused harm. I am not responsible for your emotions. I'm not responsible if you're sad or happy or distressed. I am, however, fully responsible for my behavior. And that's tricky sometimes to recognize. If I yell, if I'm dishonest, if I don't turn up on time and I inconvenience you, if I withhold funds, if I withhold affection, that is a harm. Discuss it with sponsorship and get clear on what is your behavior. We are responsible for our behavior. And so figuring that out in steps 8 and 9 with sponsorship is very important. In step 10, we get to review it very quickly. Step 1, we pray. I'm powerless, and so I lean into power. We pray. We tell someone. We make amends if we've caused harm. And then we turn. I'm not breathing today. We turn our thoughts to helping others. We turn our thoughts to helping others. And that doesn't actually mean we help anyone. We turn our thoughts to helping others. So we think about what is it I can do? And we start making a plan. We start building this plan towards helping others. So on this page, 118, if you're looking at that top paragraph, it starts with you and your husband, but this might not be you and your husband. This might be you and your neighbor. This might be you and your work colleague. This is just you and someone else. Right now, today, sometimes if my brain gets on top, ahead of me, I forget to breathe. And so you'll see me catching my breath. That's my biology. So I can do a 10th step right now. I can pray. Pray, tell someone. Make amends if I've caused harm. I haven't caused harm. And then turn my thoughts to helping others. I'm going to read from this paragraph. So in a moment, we can do a spot check inventory, check how we're going, and course correct. Get going with our day. So on page 118, you and your husband, it says, will find that you can dispose of serious problems easier than you can the trivial ones. The next time you and he have a heated discussion, so pay attention, a heated discussion. That's the spot check inventory. When you notice the heat, you notice perhaps I'm noticing that I'm catching my breath. Sometimes I notice that my hands might be shaking. Sometimes I notice that I feel actually some heat in my stomach or in my body. When I start to have a physical reactivity, so a heat is happening, the next time you and he have a heated discussion, no matter what the subject, I love that, underline it if you haven't, it doesn't matter if he's being an asshole. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter if he's wrong. It doesn't matter if you're right. It doesn't say the next time you and he have a heated discussion, except if he's wrong. It doesn't say that. It says no matter what the subject, no matter what the subject, the next time you notice that heat, right? That's the disturbance. The next time you notice that heat, no matter what the subject, it should be the privilege of either. Now, I'm sorry, those of you that are listening to this recording or sitting here in the meeting, that's going to be you. I know it's not fair. It maybe will be the other person, but you're here and you're pursuing recovery of some sort. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this or sitting here in this meeting. So I know it's not fair, but it is a privilege to be in recovery today. It is a grace to have this community and to have this path and to have this hope and to have this higher power in my life today. At 24 years of age, I didn't want to live another moment on this planet. It is a grace and a gift and a joy to be here. It is a privilege. It's not fair. It just is. And so we show up. So we're on page 118 if you're just joining us, and we're looking at this sentence here. The next time you and he have a heated discussion, no matter what the subject, it should be the privilege of either. Now it says to smile and say, I don't smile because people, generally, if you're having a heated discussion and you start smiling, they might get really mad at you. It's not always safe to smile when someone's sitting in front of you getting heated. They might take that the wrong way. So I don't normally smile, but listen to what they say. This is getting serious. Now, notice the 10th step. Pray. I mean, we hope that this person has prayed. That's the privilege. That's where you notice the grace. So in that moment where they recognize grace, that was a prayer. When you recognize you're getting disturbed, that's a grace. Breathe. And so pray, tell someone. That's what they're doing. They're doing that second part to a 10th step. This is getting serious. So that's the second part to a 10th step. They're telling them, this is getting serious. So we're acknowledging what's going on. I'm sorry I got disturbed. That's the amends. That's part three of a 10th step. Let's talk about it later. So we're move that's perhaps let's think about it, moving into an amends. Think about how you can be of service. They're moving into let's have some consideration, let's move, let's come back to this topic once we've had a break. And that break is so that they can get reconnected to their spirit. What you're hearing here on page 118 is a model, a script of how to do a 10th step. And I love that that's in there. If you go to page 84 of this big book, you will see another, those four parts that I just identified. There's a paragraph on page 84 that says, this thought brings us to step 10. Okay, do you find that paragraph on page 84? This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we clean up the past. So, as we are doing the rest of these steps, steps 1 to 9, we vigorously lean in. We vigorously lean in to this daily spot check inventory. We've just read the promises. If you're reading this book, page 83 and 84, Those promises are coming as we do the rest of the steps, and now we are living this different way of life. We are paying attention when we get disturbed, and we are doing a spot check inventory. Pray, tell someone, make amends if you cause harm, and turn our thoughts to helping others. And the word they used on page 118, it is a privilege. It's not fair. It just is. I need to pay attention when I get disturbed, and I need to move forward with these steps. Now, the way of doing a 10th step, they're about to give us the instructions. It says, we have entered the world of the spirit. We have entered the world of the spirit. Where have we been? In the world of self, self-reliance, self-control, self-manage. We're letting go of self and moving into spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Those words helping us to reflect. How are we going? Selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, now here are the four parts. So next to that line on the, in the margin, I do the number one to remind myself. So next to the word crop, I write the word one, and you're going to find it in that line. We ask God, that's the prayer. So if you underline, we ask God, and you underline that, that's the prayer. We ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately. So that's number two. So next to the word discuss in the margin, I write the word number two to remind myself. And I underline the words, discuss them with someone immediately. And then it continues, and made amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Notice it doesn't say we apologize for everything. I'm sorry I'm breathing. I'm sorry I'm here. I'm sorry you feel bad. I'm sorry you're uncomfortable. No, no, no. It says, make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. So we really need to have identified a harm. That's number three. So next to the word amends, I have the number three. And then it says, then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. So underline, turn our thoughts to someone we can help. That's number four. So on that paragraph, you will see the four parts to this 10th step as we do it as a daily 10th step. Pray, tell someone, make amends if we have caused harm, and turn our thoughts to helping others. Notice it doesn't say tell them the story. So we found that when we went to page 118, the person in the argument doesn't say, let me just go back. You don't have to, but I'm just going to go back, make sure I get the quote right. The person doesn't say, this is getting serious, but you're wrong in saying this and this and this and this and this. And it doesn't go into telling the story. What does the person simply say? The person says, this is getting serious. So you acknowledge right away the disturbance. One of the character defects that you may find when you do a fourth step and you really examine what's going on is self-abandon. We don't speak up for ourselves in a healthy way. So this is what's going on when we do a spot check inventory. This is getting serious. I'm sorry I got disturbed. Let's talk about it later. That is a 10th step. On page 84, the 10th step continues. And I'm going to close up the share today. So we're just doing a brief look at step 10. What I'd love to hear when we stop the recording is your questions or your experiences or your reflections on step 10 so that we can learn and grow from each other and our experiences. If we're on page 84 and we continue with that reading, We haven't finished the paragraph there. It says, so we've got those four parts. We ask God. We discuss it with someone immediately. We make amends quickly if we have caused harm. And then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. Love and tolerance. We build in one moment at a time, this love and tolerance every day. What can I do? What can I do to show up today in my life? What can I do to bring love and tolerance of others is our code, to bring love and tolerance into my daily actions, noticing when I'm disturbed and using the principles in these big book, in this big book to support me. The next paragraph, we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. I sometimes get stuck wanting to be right. I don't know if you identify with that, but when someone's in front of me, I want them to understand me. I want them to tell me I'm right. I want them to be rational. But they are going to do whatever they are going to do. My job is to, because I'm desperately holding on to abstinence, sobriety, I need to let go. And the way to do that, we have ceased fighting anyone or anything. I'm still fighting. I often bring the fight into my discussions. I want to be right. And so that is my disturbance, noticing when I feel that way and then moving forward. Moving forward, we have ceased fighting anyone or anything, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. We will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude towards liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality. Safe and protected. That's the connection with that spirit. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. This is our experience. This is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Very important caveat there. Fit spiritual condition. I need to stay connected with spirit. It is easy to let up on a spiritual program of action. That's what these 12 steps are. A spiritual program of action. I have to change my behavior. It is easy to let up on a spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are heading for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve, contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are the thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower. See, that's an important sentence there too. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will, the proper use of the will, aligning ourselves with spirit.
That's 30 minutes, Joe.
Thank you so much. So I will finish with a short story on using this spot check inventory. There are different ways when you work with sponsors throughout the 12-step fellowships, there are different ways of doing what is called a 10th step. There's different ways of doing it. It's good for us to review what's written in the book and get clear on what we're doing. When you go on to read the 11th step, it goes into more detail. And it's important for me to recognize the difference between an 11th step and a 10th step. The 10th step is a spot check inventory. I do it when I'm disturbed. My hands are shaking, my heart, the heat, a heated discussion. When I'm hot and I'm disturbed and I want to fight, I will have the fight inside of me. I will want to fight. That is when we do a 10th step. The 11th step happens when I am alone in my room and I'm reflecting on the day. And I reflect on morbid self-reflection. I reflect on my day. I reflect on my resentment, my fear, my dishonesty, my relationships. Is there something I need to talk to my sponsor about? So this is where we build to next, is an 11-step practice, a practice of prayer and meditation where we can reconnect when I am safe. See, that's the difference between an 11th step and a 10th step. The 10th step happens when I'm disturbed. Someone's in the room, my hands are shaking, or there's something going on and I am disturbed. And so we do that 10th step. And the example for me of using this prayer, I was in a supermarket and I was disturbed, and I don't know why, but I'm sitting there, I'm in at the checkout trying to put my groceries through, and I looked up, I noticed I was disturbed, I took a breath, I breathed. And then I looked at that young woman who was putting through my groceries, and I looked her in the eyes and I said, "I'm feeling anxious." And I don't know if you can imagine doing that, but she was a very young woman and she looked at me like I had just spoken from the moon or something. She looked at me with wide eyes and I looked at her face and I smiled because she was so bamboozled by this strange woman that it was funny. And I was able to laugh. And it took all the heat out of my anxiety and I was able to do finish at the supermarket and move through. And looking back, I noticed there was someone behind me. So I didn't know why I was disturbed. There was something happening behind me that was disturbing. My subconscious knew, but I didn't. All I knew was my hands were shaking, my heart was racing, and I was feeling disturbed. And something gave me the grace to do that 10th step the way it was written in this book for us to do, a spot check inventory. I pray. I tell someone immediately. I make amends if I've caused harm. I hadn't harmed anyone. I just moved through with my groceries. And then I turn my thoughts to helping others. So when I'm at the supermarket, what I do is I put the trolley away. I think you call them shopping carts around the world. They're different things. But that is a service that I do. Every time I go to the shops, I'm reminded self-esteem comes from esteemable acts. What are you willing to do today? Effortful. It takes effort. And I put the trolley away and I looked back at that experience and realized that was a moment. That was a teaching moment for me. I prayed. I told someone immediately. I made amends if I'd caused harm. I hadn't caused any harm. And I turned my thoughts to helping others. I'm going to put this trolley away. And I was able to get through that day, and my life has been transforming ever since. The 10th step, spot, check, inventory. So thank you so much for the opportunity to share that. And I hope that was helpful. There is a lot more to a 10th step than what I got through today. This is just touching the surface. There are many ways of doing a 10th step. There's no right or wrong. Find what works for you. This is a program of action. So take action and find an action that works for you. So this is an action that works for me. And thank you so much for hearing my share. And I hand back to Violet. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. According to our seventh tradition, we are fully self-supporting through our own contributions. As we have now moved to virtual meetings, it is important that we continue to be fully self-supporting. This allows Overeaters Anonymous to continue to carry the message to those that still suffer. You are able to send your donations through our website at ad4l.info. For those of you who are able to see the Zoom chat, the link will also be posted there. Thank you all for your support. It is appreciated. Our next meeting, a reminder that a Design for Living Big Book OA is a daily meeting. We are based out of Melbourne, Australia, and the recording from today's workshop will be available from our website, where you can also find out about other upcoming events and speakers. The website is ad4l.info. Our next monthly speaker series will be held on Melbourne Day, October the 12th. The topic is Step 11, so we hope to see you there. In closing, I would like to thank you all for your service and coming here today. By following the 12 steps, attending meetings regularly, and using the OA tools, we are changing our lives. You will find hope and encouragement in Overeaters Anonymous. To the newcomer, we suggest attending at least 6 different meetings to learn the many ways OA can help you. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please remember our commitment to honor each other's anonymity. What you hear here, whom you see here, when you leave here, let it stay here. Let us all reach out by phone or email to newcomers, returning members, and each other. Together, we get better. And to close the meeting, will Richard please unmute and read the promises, which will be shared on the screen. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Richard. I'm still a real compulsive eater. The promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we've gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.